League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So my and the moment I said the ball, my only thought was half a goal at the goalkeeper, you know? So and then when I struck it and when I look at the ball, and when it was like, oh. Yeah. And the epic celebrations, Vinid and Reno was like, oh, yeah. And the whole stadium went quiet, and you know, you could hear abuses, but you could hear abuses from the fans, like, you know, like, I don't think I can say it, yeah, but.
Eugene, thank you so much. I think this is a year and a half in the making, but finally managed to track you down. So thanks so much, man, for doing this.
Anytime, man, anytime.
So what's been happening? I see a lot of guitar playing videos and things that you put up. So what's been happening now in the lockdown?
Just occupying my mind. Yeah? I mean, time, obviously, lockdown and all things are happening around the world. I just hope everyone's safe and so on. I know it, what's going on. So yeah, just trying to get the days to go by, you know, just fiddling with stuff here and there.
Any favorite songs?
I just keep listening. There are quite a lot of songs are there. I just keep listening from one song to another, one song to another, just to have, you know, an insight of different ways of playing and different kind of music.
Yeah, I heard somewhere that you are now into Swedish heavy metal or something. Is that
I was listening to a lot of In Flames lately. Yeah? Hmm. So the band In Flames is from Sweden. So I've been into them for quite some time now.
Heavy metal, huh?
I won't say that heavy. I think the over the years they've progressed the way they've played. They've been very strong. Before now they've been a little relaxed in the way, but then I feel the music is good nonetheless.
Okay, cool. I had to check them out. I don't know about that band. I've been into Riverside of late. I think they put out a new album, so that's what I was.
I've never heard of Riverside.
Dude, it's amazing. They are the post rock band.
Okay, so, okay, fine. I'll check it out.
Yeah, I'll send you the link if you want to check them out.
Okay, cool.
So, what else is happening? Let's talk about football now.
Yeah, sure.
So, what's happening, man? Like, last season, we'll go East Bengal, not the best of seasons for the club. So, how was last season for you?
I think last 2-3 seasons have not been very good, you know? I mean, when it comes to playing time or getting opportunity to play, I think the last 3 seasons have been very, very bad. And obviously, I think it happens, and obviously when it comes to a team, when it comes to the coach, where I'm not very sure whether the coach wants me to play, wants me, you know, or where the coach has got a different perspective of the kind of players that he wants on this team. So that is, it happens. So, but like me, three years have been very, very, according to me, I've been very, very bad. But I think that's life. That's how it's football is. And just had to get along with it, be happy with what has happened.
Yeah, the injury troubles are all gone, right? Now you're fine. You're fit.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm all recovered. I'm fit.
Because when we last spoke, when you were in Bengaluru, I remember I thought, especially in January with the Asian Cup, those qualifier games, you would get more time to play. But I think you got injured at that time.
I got a little knock on my right knee. And the MCL. I got a strain in the MCL. So, yeah.
So, what's the next season looking like? You're having a very, very headache.
Right now, I'm not thinking about football, man. Right now, I just, I know, I'm just after the season with East Bengal, I was like very, very disappointed, and I know, so not that, not happy with myself. I have, you know, I have full faith in my capabilities. But then obviously, like I said, different coaches have a different preference of different kind of players playing in the positions that they play or the system that they want to play. So, but that's why as of now, I've not really thought about football, just letting my mind be away from football time being.
So are you're going to play, right?
Huh?
You're going to continue playing, right?
Yeah, I'll play, yeah.
Yeah, okay, perfect. Because
The
I
provided someone's
no,
interested.
there will always be interest for sure. You don't have to worry about that one. I know a couple of coaches who still talk about you personally. So obviously there is a lot of goodwill. And while I was doing research, I mean, many people may have forgotten or like you said, last 3 years you have not played so much, right? But you were at one time at par with Sunil in terms of getting the money auction, 1 point something crore. You and Sunil, you were the
No,
player of the
man,
year.
no. I mean, see, money is nothing like that, man. But you know, like Sunil
No,
is
money is
very.
validation, right?
No, I mean, forget money, man. I mean, football has always been a passion, and you know, just being able to play, being happy, and doing the things that you love and earning. I think that is one part of it. I've never really thought about the money part when it came to football, but because okay, but it did help me financially, and you know, be able to support my family. But I think most important thing was being happy on the pitch, being happy training every day, being happy seeing the faces of the teammates every day, you know. But nonetheless, obviously, I mean, you can't say be on par with Sunil. I mean, Sunil's obviously just above everyone else. You know, when it comes to being a footballer, being the professional that he is. So he's still going at this rate at a very, I mean, he's. I won't say he's old because his body isn't old, so.
Well, Eugene, you spoke about how football is about happiness. It's money is an important factor, yes, but for you personally, it's about the happiness that you derive from the game, right? And after a high that you had, say, 3 years ago, then came the low patch because of injuries and not finding the right team to play with. How difficult was that period for you to adjust to the sudden change? Because in a footballer's career, changes are sudden. Your high is a sudden high, then your low is also a sudden low. So how difficult was on a personal level for you to adjust to these changes?
The moment I got injured, I'd already analyzed, I would say, the consequences of what could happen, you know.
You're talking about the first injury, right? Back in 2016.
So I'd analyze myself of what could happen, what, you know, or the probabilities that could happen. So I was already prepared for what could happen because, you know, after a serious injury, there are many things that many coaches would doubt, you know, before they even think whether the player can play or not. The other thing, oh, he's got an injury, you know. So I've always felt that. But then I see, I wasn't sad that I got injured. On when I came back, I wasn't sad because obviously up till the day I got injured, I was very happy playing football, and I got injured because I was playing football, not something else. Or I had, God forbid, I had a motor accident or this and that that prevented me from playing football. Now I got injured in a football pitch, so I wasn't really, you know, depressed or sad. But it is a part of the game that, you know, that I've learned to accept way before. And obviously, not being able to play on a match days is sad. But come match day plus one, when we have start training, I get to play. That is when my mind just, you know, is again happy because I get to play, I get to train, I get to do it. The only day when I'm sad is when I don't get selected into the match day squad, meaning like the first 11, the playing team. That is only when I'm pissed off. But otherwise, when I'm just on the pitch training, I just forget everything that maybe what has happened in my life or the high or the lows. It's just about the moment that I'm living. So I think it's very important that players don't overthink too much about. I think it's important that they enjoy every moment that they have if they're playing. Even if they're not playing, maybe they work harder, because it's very important that to understand that when you're able to play, your mind is happy, your mind is, there's nothing that can stop you. But the moment you get injured, it's very tough to get your mind in the right state of mind. So it's very, very important that you take care, players learn to take care of themselves, learn to be happy, content, and most of all, to enjoy being fit.
Will it be right for me to say that once you have the ball at your feet, you are the most happiest?
Yeah, definitely. When you have the ball at your feet, and when you're training especially, it's there's no joy. You know, it just the 1 hour and a half, 2 hours just pass by without even you noticing the time. So it's I think for me, football has always been something that I would say a love at first sight. And something that has, you know, like if I can get to play for 8 hours a day also, I'll still be happy. I won't get tired. You know, like, I mean, like, you understand? It's the love that I have for the game. And even till date, you know, I'm very passionate about the game. Very passionate about playing, most importantly.
So what was it like last season? You have played in the biggest clubs in the country. You've played for the national team. You've seen just about anything there is to see on the biggest stage also, in the Asian AFC Cup final and things like that. So how was it last season? Because from the outside for us, it was it looked like there was no, like you said, it just felt like there were a lot of square pegs in round holes, let's say, the way the team was playing.
First of all, I would say is that Robbie Fowler didn't have the opportunity to make a team because he came to India. I think this was his first time in India, and he obviously didn't have a say at what players to get. I mean, he had a say on only to get a foreign player, but he didn't have a say to get Indian players that he won, or, you know, the kind of style that he wanted to play. And, you know, we started our preseason late compared to other teams. So I would say a lot had to do with, you know, the team preparation, and obviously Robbie having his, being his first time in India, and you know, not knowing the players that he's got with him, the Indian players I'm saying. So it's important that I feel that a coach needs to be able to have a say, you know, in getting the players that he wants. And then obviously the team can move on from there. And then, you know, you can expect outcomes, results from the coach. So I felt that he needed time. And obviously if he had got the right players in his team, and he would do better.
But when you're, as a player in that, in such a situation where the coach is not happy with the squad he has, but he's still trying to figure something out throughout the season. How does a player react to this? Like, you are there to do a job, but you're not able to give your best because it's not the best setup to be in.
It's very, very tough, bro. I mean, like, because see, certain players suit a certain style of play. Like, for example, if you look at Glenn Martins, he never had an opportunity to play in Goa, or in ETK. But when he went to Goa and you see him playing the Champions League, you feel like, you know, it's a revelation for him. So it's important that players fit into a system. And obviously we try our best, we try this, but obviously when results don't come, you know, you get frustrated, team gets frustrated, you know, but then it's not easy. I mean, you see it happening worldwide, and, you know, players fitting into a system and players don't fit in the system. Like, for example, you look at Chelsea, you win the Champions League with a different coach, but a previous coach felt that certain players didn't fit in the system, and then they fit another coach system and they go on win the Champions League. So it's football is like, you know, it's like a puzzle where everything, you know, like right from the top, from the management all the way down to the kid man, everything has to be in sync that, you know, you can get success. And to be able to get success, I mean, it's important that the coach knows how to get the best out of what he has. It's important to understand the situation that the players, or so it's not, you can't just be limited to, I want to do this means I have to do this. But if you don't have the set, you know, like, for example, like you make use of what you have and try to get the best out of it. So that's important, I feel. But, you know, nonetheless, I think as professionals, we should be able to adjust to whatever kind of coach comes and whatever he wants to play. It's very, very important.
Okay, now let's go to happier topics, slightly further back. So, and I just, like, you and I have something similar in that we are both engineering people. I didn't have the guts to leave engineering midway. But I finished engineering in 6 years or 7 years because I had 16 back papers. I was not interested at all. But eventually, you know, I got it through. But by that time, I'd already started working also. So I was doing the thing simultaneously. So how big a decision was it for you to leave engineering in the third year. You had almost reached the other end, like which could have just come to the other end.
I know, like you, I also had a lot of papers, you know. Yeah, so I think that made it easier for me to quit. I think if I had done well my third year, probably I don't think so I would end up being a football player. But I think because those back papers made me have a year down,
mm-hmm.
so it had gave me the opportunity to play football year round, and yeah. that's when things turn around. You understand? So if that didn't happen, I don't think so I would have quit engineering, and maybe I would have just continued studying, you know, and I don't think I would have ever played football.
You would have lost a great midfielder also of that era. But yeah, seriously, because for me, there was no year back. We could carry papers to the next year. So I went with 16 papers into the final year. In the final year, I managed to clear everything on time, because at that time, I thought, okay, now I'm here, I have to finish it. Till then, I was, you know, studying Lord of the Rings, Elven language and all during the exams. Because I was not interested at all. But yeah, eventually it worked out. But then you went to your dad's club, Arima, at that time. Played over there. Then your dad told you to go to Shillong.
No. What happened is, at that time, we were playing the second division as well. I think in 2009... Yeah, I think 2009, we played second division, 9-10, we played. And I think 11, Lajong qualified again in the year 11, I think, to the I-League. They got promoted to the I-League again. And in that year, Lajong and us, the final round happened in Shillong. Yeah. So we, that time, United Sikkim was there. I think Vasco was there. What all team were there? Shillong Lajong. A couple of teams, I don't remember. So we ended up playing each other. So Lajong qualified, and one more team qualified. I don't remember that year. But then we didn't qualify. So what happened is then Pradyum Reddy was a coach at Lajong at that time. So he's the one who came and spoke to me, and you know, he called me up. He said, like, would you like to join Lajong and play the I-League? So then at that point of time, I was like, this was the greatest opportunity for me to play, you know, at the biggest stage of Indian football. So I spoke to my dad. Then after we spoke, then things happened, and then I ended up playing for Lajong. And if it wasn't for Pradyum, I don't think so I would have ended up playing for Lajong, because he was the one who persuaded me to come and join.
Yeah, he has told me the story. But I thought your dad was like, go and play. And then you went back to, by that time it was...
Yeah, so what happened is, yeah, so I spoke with my dad, and then my dad obviously agreed.
Mm-hmm.
Then, after 2 years, then Rondajit, Ahima changed his name to Rondajit, and then they qualified for the I-League. And that is when I left Lajong and went to join Rondajit. Then we played the I-League that year. I think we did fairly well, and we did manage to stay in the league, but due to some criteria, the IFF prevented us from playing the following season. And then I ended up. Then Pradyum again called me that Ashley wanted me. Then he was. It's like as if Pradyum was taking me along wherever he went. So then Pradyum called me. Actually, Pradyum called me earlier the first season that BFC went. And I said, Rangdejit is there, so I can't join.
Okay.
Then the following year, obviously, then Ashley saw me playing, then Ashley called me as well. Then I ended up going to BFC. And then that's where things started.
So can you tell a little bit about the Shillong Derby? Because you had the Rangdejit, the Royal Wind at that time, and Shillong Lajong is also there. So, what was that derby like? Like, it's not a derby that's too...
I mean, in Shillong, the Shillong League is very, 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 very popular here. I mean, so when local clubs play here, I mean, like, there are lots of people who come to the stadiums to watch the games. And it's very, very interesting when you have, like, I don't know whether you've been to Shillong before.
Yes.
And the first ground, we call it, So that is where the league used to happen, and the league, the games are almost always packed.
Okay.
Like you'd have 8,000 at least people watching, you know, local league matches. And it's quite interesting because people in Shillong, they know football, and you know, everyone watches football and everyone has a team that they support locally. So that is what has really passionate about people here when it comes to football. With Lajong going into the I League has really, you know, like put a benchmark for other football clubs in Shillong, you know, that this is what we need to look forward to. And obviously playing in the derby, playing for Randajet against Lajong, it was a great experience because this derby was played at national level, not at the local level. And people from all over Meghalaya, from all over East Khasi Hills, Gentia Hills and West Khasi Hills, they all come to watch the matches. So whenever it happens, so whenever a local team is playing, even when you look at the home matches, whenever a home match happens in Shillong, there are always people watching. Like, you know, unlike when you go to Calcutta or only Calcutta, if only Mohun Bagan, East Bengal play each other, then it's packed. Else others hardly. Okay. So it's people here, that's why I said people here know football and they're very passionate about the game. And it's I can't describe how you feel it. You can only feel it. It's like, you know, when you're actually present at the stadium and the atmosphere, it's something that I can't say in words, but it's just only the feeling that I have in my mind, you know, as from a player's point of view, like how it feels like, and maybe from a spectator's point of view, sitting in the pitch and, you know, supporting your team and, you know, knowing if your team wins, you're happy, you're, you know, and you, but if your team lose, you know, how sad you feel. And when your other team, you know, the local, the derby, it just feels like, you know, like you have the bragging rights kind of.
How does, as a player, do you listen to fans when you're playing?
I mean, because like, obviously,
Kantira was very loud, I remember.
No, I mean, like, when the fans shout, you know, it's like you get an extra push. Mm-hmm. When fans are there, when fans are behind you, you get an extra push, you get extra energy. And I feel, I think BFC, when playing at home, I feel they're invincible because of the fans. And the fans have always, I feel Bangalore fans have always been there. They've always backed the players, always backed the team. And the fact that they have made chance for players, I mean, you know, it just, you feel privileged, you know, to be playing for a team and playing for fans like them. And when you hear the chants that they chant for you, and then you feel like, you know, oh, I need to be doing more for them, you know, so that they can have the joy. And so it's a very reciprocal thing, I feel. That fans and football are one, you know. Without the fans, I feel football is dull.
How was it last season then, without fans? Like, and I think BFC struggled a little bit because there was nobody there. They're never used to playing without that amount of fan support.
I think I would say it was a tough situation for every football player last season. Obviously, when you're in a bubble for close to 5-6 months, and you go to a stadium, empty stadium, and then, you know, I think it's hard. But I think all credit goes to the players, the management, to the people who run the ISL, because if it wasn't for them, I don't think the league would have happened. And all of credit goes to each and every one of us who were, you know, a part of it. And it's not easy to play without fans, but it has to go on, you know.
Yeah.
And we have to go on with it for, I think, maybe hopefully this season will be out. It might change.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Because the other day I was watching Premier League match. Last weekend was the first time they had fans, right? And I heard them say "man on" when they were pressing.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, this is not the dull sound that you always hear. There's like normal people over there and making noise. So that was very different. But
Eugene, before we move on to your time in Bangalore and the wonderful time you had with BFC, one thing I wanted to know about Meghalaya football is when you played back home and for to a very long time, till a very long time, teams from Meghalaya did really well at the national stage also, right? Which Shillong, Lajami, one of the primary teams there. But over the past few seasons, that's not been the scene. How much has that affected the local football in Meghalaya, given that there is nothing to aspire for now, even because people have seen clubs stumble after playing the National League?
So what I feel is, when the ISL came on, I know, like, I'll just say, for example, like Rangdijit or Shillong Lajong, we have hope of playing at the national level is because of promotion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, clubs from the Northeast, I don't think we would be equipped to have a lot of money to play in the ISL and, you know, spend a lot of money like the way ISL Cup spend. But, I mean, to be playing in an I-League which has got, in the past few years, I mean, the past 6 years, it's just playing, it's like participating, but it doesn't feel like, you know, if you know what I mean. So, I mean, it became pointless for, like, for example, for us, why should we spend lots of money to go and qualify for the I-League when there's nothing? We don't gain anything from it. So it's better playing the local league, but which is sad because local players who aspire to, you know, use these clubs as a stepping stone to that, you know, they're lost. But for us, Lajong, like for say per se Lajong, for us teams, like many teams who get promoted to the I-League through the second division, and then, you know, like hoping, like for example, like Aizawl got promoted, played the I-League, won the I-League, played Champions League qualifiers and played the AFC Cup. So, I mean, that is the ideal thing that each and every club from here would want to follow. You understand what I mean? So, but for us to sustain like how the ISL club sustained, it's very hard. Okay, maybe we'll go, we get promoted, then we get relegated. And again, like how it's supposed to be, yes, we will have a motivation to make teams to, you know, to participate, to get promoted, and, you know. But then if we're just spending money and then we're just stuck there idle, then I feel it's pointless. Like, so it's very important
about, that... Right. What you spoke about is a natural trajectory. If you don't perform well, you get relegated. That's a natural trajectory. But that's not what we've been seeing, unfortunately, in Indian football. Given that, what is the chatter in Meghalaya? Like, what are the upcoming generation of footballers aspiring for?
I think, no, yeah, we have a lot of footballers here. The only thing, like I said, is the thing is they don't go out to play. So they're hoping that clubs from Meghalaya play in the national level and then they get, you know, like I said, a stepping stone. Right. That's very important. Stepping stone. Like, as an example for myself, I played for India because I played for Lajong and Lajong was playing at the I-League. And then because I played for Lajong, the I-League, then I get to, I played for Rangdijit I-League and then a club like BFC calls me and then I play for BFC and then I get to play for Indian national team.
You get noticed.
So, yeah. So it's step-by-step progress, you know? So, I mean, that I feel that is what is important for kids from our region, that they get, because they're from Northeast, in Northeast that's playing at level Aizawl. Right now they're playing in the I-League is Aizawl, Neroka, Trau, and Northeast United is playing the ISL. So it's important that we have more teams from Meghalaya as well that actually, you know, wants to play at a national level. And then we provide a stepping stone or provide a platform for the kids, many kids. Like if we have a team from Meghalaya, then at least it can provide us a platform for at least 30 plus kids. So 30 plus kids, and then they get, you know, they get to showcase the talent. And then obviously, eventually, they get called by clubs. Like, for example, the kid who was the guy who was a top scorer or something, Bidyan, what's his name?
Bidyan Sagar.
Yeah, so he's got a platform to play at national level. And now, ISL clubs are, you know, I feel that is very pivotal in promoting kids from our region.
According to you, are there enough platforms in Meghalaya for kids to aspire?
Yeah. I feel at the lower, the age grassroots levels, the kids are doing very well. We have the MFA is doing something. The clubs are also doing a lot. And obviously the Hero I-League that is happening for the under 18s or the under 14, that is where the clubs are participating. So the platform is there, available. But the only thing I feel is about the senior platform.
Yeah, that makes sense. But anyway, I mean, I was always very curious with the culture of football in the Northeast. It's very strong. you guys, that side produces were alarmingly large number of players for the ISL. So any one of them going away would be a major blow for the national team, where anyway our pool of players is not that big anyway. So it's very important that that's sustained and kept up. Hopefully this pandemic and all, everybody can weather it and come back. Because financially it must have been a blow for everyone.
Yeah, it is.
So now let's go back to your time in BFC. Now you are at BFC. You came to Bangalore. You have always you already lived there before in your studies and things like that. You're comfortable with the place. Did you feel like you came there with a point to prove? Because the improvement, I mean, I remember watching you in Rangtije. I thought, he is a good player. And then you were signed. I was like, okay, they got a good midfielder. But you just went right straight to the top.
It's coaching, you know, it's like you have talent, you have abilities, but then if you don't have the right coach, the right staff behind you working for your development, then, you know, it goes to waste. But obviously, I've always credited Ashley, Pradyum and the coaching staff for my progression and the team, BFC team as a whole, because I feel when I reached BFC, then I really realized how football is and how it is being managed, how a football club, when it comes to training, when it comes to the, you know, when it comes to everything of individual professional football has to behave, you know, the rest, the gym, the training timings, the this, the food, the everything, you know. So this is where I felt that made a big impact in my footballing career. Because I remember the first training session, Ashley came to me, he's like, mate, you have to do more than this. You know, otherwise before in Shillong or in, I would be like, oh, that's enough. But then when Ashley said that, then, you know, he woke me up, then I felt that I have to work harder. And then, you know, then they start using the GPS, start using this, using that to analyze players. So, I mean, like, training is very important. Having the right person to train, having the right, you know, it's very, very pivotal in your progression. And then eventually, BFC was set up by a good coach, and you could see the progress of every player. I think all the players that played for BFC have improved drastically. So I felt that the coaching staff had done a really, really great job.
Well, did it come as a surprise to you when you came from Meghalaya and coming to Bangalore, where things were so professional and something that was more or less unseen in Indian football in the past? You were like, oh my God, this is something really new for me.
It was new and exciting. Because football, like, you know, normally we go train. Yeah, it's the same usual thing. But then
small things, right?
Yeah, it's a small thing. And, you know, it's just the command that a coach has. You know, when you just hear the coach's voice, or it's a command that, you know, it's the presence that's very important. I felt the presence of the coach. The coach has got a presence and he had a good assistant along with him. So it just, you know, it's something that alerts you every training session. And then we have a lot of all this physical check now, you know, like whether we have taken enough water before we train, there's a urine check and all that stuff, whatever. So it just is these small details that help us become better players and became a team that everyone was afraid to come up against.
So what was it about BFC you think that suited your game? Because I remember thinking, Not many people associate you with dribbling the ball to, they think of the passes, but you were deceptively fast to break through the lines. I told this to, when Pradyum also said this, he's fast, but you don't notice generally when he's playing, because your movement is very smooth in that sense. So what was it about the team that worked for you?
You know, I think the gym was one thing. I've never done gym before in my life. When I came to, I still remember training when we were training. So when we had a training session in the morning, then we had a gym session in the afternoon. So I think that was the first gym session. And I happened to be at Sunil's group.
Okay.
And Sunil's laughing at me because I couldn't perform any, you know, like, hey, we were doing a deadlift. So at that time, they asked me to do deadlifts. I couldn't because, you know, they have techniques for doing your gym, right, for this and that. So I still remember that time when he was laughing at me. He's like, welcome to BFC. So I remember, you know, so it's then it's when I start realizing that it's important. Like, you know, there are things that there are small, there are details that help you improve and help you become stronger, faster, injury free, this, that. And I think the training schedule, the training timings, the training, everything was perfect at BFC during those days. So I felt that you just felt in sync. You know, when you go, when you're training, you feel happy that, oh, I'm training, it's nice. And then you want to go to training. It's not like, oh, another training session, you know? Mm-hmm. But
you spoke about Sunil there. I just wanted to know, everyone associates Sunil to be this really serious guy on the field. And when it comes to his nutrition, his training and everything, is he also a prankster when it comes to training?
Yeah, he is a bit. I think he's got that, like you said, a great leadership quality. I feel like on the pitch, off the pitch, which is very important. You have players who have good leadership qualities only on the pitch, but offside, off the pitch, they're not great. But I felt that he has, you know, the qualities that make a team, gets a team together, even off the pitch, even when we're off training or, you know, this and that. So I felt that I think he's also one part of BFC that you know, the Asian. So I would say, like, you know, like the foundation stones of BFC, I would say the coaches and Sunil being there was very, very important. And, you know, the mentality that he has obviously crept to other players as well. So it has, you know, the club is what it is, I think, because of those foundations.
So I have a couple of stories that I've heard and about Sunil being a prankster. I've heard this from someone, but then I think this one genuinely happened. This was during the first season, and Kunal used to, he works there, right? He's a media manager, for people don't know. He's also a big part of the team. So they used to have hard-boiled eggs. So he used to throw it onto the roof and then it'll crack and come back, right? So he was showing off like that. I think Sunil gave him like a normal egg in between the hard-boiled egg, and he broke it all over his shirt or pants or whatever it may be. So this is something I've heard. Again, like, I may be misremembering some details. But any such things happen to you? Because Jono was also another prankster.
Yeah, Jono was. I think Jono was a character, a great character in the team. I felt he was a very, very good. I mean, like, I think the team had great characters. And Jono was a leader on the pitch as well. So he was one. I mean, even Josh Walker was a great player. And previous season, Johnny Manyonger, he was a great leader. So I think it's important teams to have leaders.
You played with Manyonger in Shillong, did you?
I played with Manyonger in Shillong, yes.
He was amazing, right?
Yeah, he was a great player, man.
So who would you say is the best that you played with? There is Manyonger, there is Alvaro Rubio also, who's another great player that you've seen. So who would you say is the best?
I would say they all have their own qualities, you know. Alvaro Rubio was great in a different way. And he was always a supportive midfielder. Like, you know, he always ran, you know, but always. Manyonger was good with the ball. Josh Walker was good. Josh Walker was a leader. I mean, like, I think they're all good in their own way. To see about which player I enjoyed playing the most with, and BSC, I would say Josh Walker, because I felt while playing with him, he did a lot to help me. I mean, like, on the pitch wise, meaning like when you play with him, you know that he's present there. You know what you need to do and you need to do it. I mean that the communication between him and that season, Toy and myself, I think we had a great, because you always know, because I would play a bit more attacking and he'd be more defensive. So, you know, we always had a confidence that Josh Walker was always there, you know. And more when it came to footballing terms, I mean, like, to the system that we played at then, I think Josh Walker really, really fit in very well with, and I fit in very well with him. And I think that was also pivotal, and I mean, very great for the season that we had that year. But obviously, we missed out on that season with against Monbagan.
So how sad was that? Because we were at the stadium.
Oh my God.
And it was raining and all, I think. And
one crazy night that.
Goal happened and there was like the whole sound had gone off the stadium. Except obviously not, because the Bagan fans are also there. So it just felt like the air had lifted out of the stadium. How did that hurt?
I think 86 minutes. I still remember, maybe 86 minutes.
Yeah. 86, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was a tough game. It was raining and we were leading 1-0 and we needed to win. Mohun Bagan just needed to draw.
Right.
And I thought, well, we have 4 minutes more and then we're winning the league. But then that is when I saw the character of the team. Okay, we lost that, but then it's the character of the coach, character of the team. Like, we went back to dressing rooms like, it's not done. Next year, we're winning the league. And next year, we started off very well from the beginning, because the first that season, I think we started very bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the following year, we started very well. And then we won the league. And I think that's the character of the coach, character of the team, and the character of the whole squad, you know, after coming after a loss and going back next season to win it.
I remember Ashley coming to the post-match press conference after that match. He said, I maintain that we didn't lose the league. We just ran out of games. So we were like, okay, fair enough. Fair enough. But then next year, like you said, he came and won the league again. But was it a shock for you that he left? How did you take the fact that he was leaving? He was very successful. One title every season.
Well, you say management have their own views and that, so you have to just respect whatever view they have.
So now, talking about BFC, it's incomplete without talking about the AFC Cup run. So at that Cup run, years later, I spoke to Sunil about it. We were talking about something and he said, so I have a clip lined up. This is what he told about you, because you had in the Asian Champions League qualifier, I think you hit the direct goal from the corner in Johar, and then that screamer. Yeah. So this is what he said about it.
That goal did that for us. The Eugene
goal. Screamer.
We were dominated there, man. They scored from a corner, okay? And then Eugene, man, that screamer, man. That just, the heads, you see the video, huh? The heads go down like this. That was Eugene's ground, man.
Yeah, he said that is Eugene's ground. But he is right. That goal changed the whole complexion of that game. And weirdly, so the day before the second leg, we spoke to you. I mean, it was not an interview. We're just talking because you were there. And there was like this serene, this thing. You and Sunil, everybody was calm. Like, there was no pressure. You're like, yeah, I mean, at home, we'll see. Maybe we can do it. But then you went on and did it.
No, I felt that year when Roca came and we enjoyed his training sessions, and I think it's before the season that he started playing coaching in the I-League, but I think we did very well and I think we got along. The coach got along. I think Alvaro Rubio was very important to us because he understood what the coach wanted, and I felt that as a team, we are capable, you know. We were capable. We had, I think we had self-belief, which was more important. And the mentality of the players that, you know, like, we've reached the semifinals and I think, you know, we need one more step and then we're into the finals. So, it's, I think when you play at home at BFC, you always feel like you have the upper hand with the fans and the ground, because you've played at that ground and, you know, you feel like it's your own and you know every inch of the pitch. So it's very, I feel at BFC, at the Kativa, it's like you say, the fortress. Yeah, it is a fortress.
Yeah, that was one of my best experience in person.
Absolutely.
In the stadium.
Absolutely. But Eugene, before we move ahead, take us through that game in Johor, man. The team was up against the defending champions at their home. Given that the record at home was also really good, what was the mindset going into that match?
How did you take that shot also?
How did that happen?
Actually, if you see, because we've been training a lot when Roca always told me to, you know, be in between the lines. So in between the midfield and defense line, he always told me to be in those pockets. So it reciprocated from what happened in training. So in training, we practice a lot of being in pockets, you know, and especially playing in between the lines and, you know, breaking the lines. So I happened to be there because at that time we played Cameron Watson, Alvaro, and myself. So they always expected me to be more of the attacking midfielder. So I would have the privilege to go up, you know, and try to play more like a number 10 role in whenever I go up. So at that moment when he passed me the ball, so my and the moment I received the ball, my only thought was have a go at the goalkeeper, you know. So and then when I struck it and when I look at the ball, and when it was like, oh.
Then you went down running celebrating.
Yeah. And the epic celebrations, Vinid and Reno was like, oh, yeah. And the whole stadium went quiet, and you know, you could hear abuses, but you could hear abuses from the fans, like you know, like I don't think I can say it, yeah, but it's that's the joy of, you know, playing in the stadiums and playing against teams that, you know, and I think we've been up against Johor quite a few times before.
Yeah, right.
The Champions League and yeah, not only playoffs.
Group stage also.
We were group stage as well.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So you knew them.
And yeah. You knew them. And then in Bangalore, the second leg, they scored the first. So that nullified your away goal advantage. But that barely bothered you. What for?
No, like I said, we were very confident. And I think we had we were confident on the tactics and the players that we had already, in, you know, like trained for, and like, you know, how we were going to play against them. I think we believed, and you know, all the plans that the coach have, the set pieces that we trained, they all worked, because I think the two goals were set pieces.
Yeah. Wanan and Chetri.
Yeah.
You took
yeah.
the corners, right?
Yeah.
One yeah. corner, one free kick. Yes. So. Right. So I felt that the pre-match training sessions were very, very helpful for us.
And then Chetri scored that one crazy goal, which he does in such big occasions usually.
And I'll tell you something about that goal. So Chetri doesn't celebrate. That is his problem, right? He doesn't celebrate unless it's like a winning goal. Like he kills the game, so he'll celebrate. So when that goal went in, we were sitting in the press box. No, he didn't celebrate. There was a moment of silence. Like everybody is trying to figure out, did it go in or did it hit the side netting? We don't know. Generally, the player's reaction, you get something. He just turned and walked. And then there was like that 5 seconds of this thing before the song and everybody went up. Our man, Naveen. Naveen stood up in the press box and was like, he scored the goal. You're standing like this, like, oh, look at that goal. Look at that. He feels like, so I've told Sunil, like, Naveen is celebrate for you.
I am all that invested in every single one. Like
and
that, then.
We have a laptop goal. And things, and he's like this. We are trying to protect the laptop from the rain and everything. And he's like,
I'll just push the table down.
Yeah, and the Kyrgyzstan goal also. And Sunil ran from one end of the pitch to the other one. That also. He was standing up as Sunil was running.
JJ's goal, huh?
Yeah.
JJ's return. Yeah.
It
was a great goal.
That was a great goal, man. I think a very tough match for us. Oh. We needed to win that match, I felt. Yeah. It was a very tough match.
Yeah. So, what would you say was your peak season?
I would say the first season with Ashley. I think that is when I realized that the potential that I had. And I think I felt I wasn't tired that season. I felt I had a lot of energy. I had a lot of, you know, that I could go on for another game, a few more games. I felt that season was very, very important for me.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say is your best goal?
I don't know, bro. I think all goals are good, you know. I mean, like... I don't have a specific goal that I'd say is good, but obviously I enjoyed every goal that I scored. Obviously they have their special moments and, you know, the different stages or the different value of the goals, you know, so they all have their own meanings.
Now when you look back, do you remember the goals that you have scored, or is it just part of your memory?
Oh, no, I do remember some goals. I do remember a few of them. Some of them.
Well, you remember the Johor goal, don't you?
Johor goal, yeah, definitely. I remember both of those.
You know what? In some way, I think that is probably one of the most important goals in BFC's history.
I think that was very important. I think the away goal was very important for us.
Yeah. So that's a pivotal moment in that club's history because they became known as the Asian.
I think that, yeah, we just fell short of the final by just this much.
Do you want to talk about the final?
How was that final, though?
I think that was our first time coming up against Middle Eastern teams.
Mm-hmm.
Probably we didn't know how, I've never come across them, so we don't really know how they feel, how they play, how physical they were, you know. I think tactically, we were good enough. I think we could have done better. And I felt that just some small clean mistakes, we could have, maybe we could have tied and then maybe take it into extra time.
Yeah.
Because if you remember the last free kick suddenly we had, yeah, if we need that, because according to the play, we need should have put the ball across. And then there was Johnson, there was Sunil, there was everyone. You know, it happens in the game, you know. So, I mean, like, I think we could have done better if we had more experience playing in the AFC and playing against, you know, Middle Eastern team, because we never play against Middle Eastern team. We only play. That was the first time we played against a Middle Eastern team. I think the first time. So we didn't really know how they are, how physical they were. So, you know, I think it's very important. We need to understand, like, you know, get all this and then, you know.
They're physically very different, right? Middle Eastern team, much more physically strong.
Yeah, I think they're strong, they're tall, they're more physical. So when it comes to, like, unlike Asians, not Japanese, not South Koreans, I mean Southeast Asians.
Yeah. You're Singaporeans and you're Indonesians and those.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear a story from Doha? With Naveen. So we were there for the final. And obviously we're dejected because you were writing. We were so happy that you guys were going. You're doing interviews, writing features, all these things. And then obviously the final happened and it didn't go your way. So obviously dejected. So our reporters, that's smaller. Like, you're writing 600 words, it became 400 words. You're like, okay, fine. You know. But so I got a call from my editor and I was saying, like, you've been writing big stories. Why did you write small story this time? And I was like, you know, I'm not in the headspace. This is not cool enough. And I was relatively young in the profession also at that time. So after that, when we were coming back, there was a cab guy. We were going to take a cab to come back to the hotel. And Naveen's full upset. So that guy said he wanted $20 or whatever, 20 dinar.
Whatever the currency is.
Like, he wanted 20. So Naveen started arguing, like, no, we came here for 14. Why the hell should I give you 20? This went to the point we thought you were going to get beaten up. And we're like, no, we'll give you 20. After a while, he started imitating that guy's accent also. That's where I thought you were going to get beaten up. But yeah,
I think this is a joy. This is a joy of playing, you know, continental matches. Like, you travel from one country to the other. I think that's a joy.
It's a fun experience. It's always a fun experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then, now if I want to ask you some random quick fire questions, who do you think is the most underrated player you've played with?
Quite a lot, man. Like, who I've liked. There are players who I like. I feel Rokas Lamare was one who I feel that really didn't get the, you know, I think he's one player that I really liked. Then, I know, I mean, like, there are players like Beko. Beko at BFC, I think, in his first season at BFC, I think he was very pivotal for BFC. I think Chuante is a good player, but his injuries have always gotten the better of him, you know. And I think there are a lot of players, man, that go unnoticed. It's just because some players are not into media, into social media, into this, into that, who don't talk, or very quiet, you know. Just do their work on the pitch, go home, keep doing it every game, you know. There are a lot of players I feel in India who are like that.
So the best Indian you've played with, and you can't say Sunil.
Well, only the questions here are rapid.
I know. I just can't say like.
He has played with a lot of players.
Yeah, so best Indian apart from Sunil. I would say. I would say I think Kevin Lobo was is a good player. Mm. Kevin Lobo.
Yeah, a lot of people do say that.
Kevin Lobo, Alvin George.
Alvin
George.
When he came to BFC, I expected a lot from him because we've been tracking him even before he was when he was with Dempo, and he was playing in the Santosh Trophy. There was a lot of expected, but then I think injuries were the better of him and could never. Get back to what he promised initially.
I think the number 10 role also went out of the game, right? So we became.
I think at BFC we don't play number 10s, no? During Ashley's time. That's why.
He went out. I think even you went out wide a couple of games.
Yeah, some games I went wide, yes. Ashley kept changing his formations, you know, to play against different teams. He would, you know, to counter the teams, he would change his tactics in a way.
So, who would you say the best coach you worked?
I think I would say Ashley. I would say because if it wasn't for him, I don't think I would have reached the, like we've talked earlier, like I reached, you know, the heights that I have reached. I don't think I would have reached if it wasn't for him. So I would say he was very important.
Was it during his time in ATK that you also joined ATK? Or was it after he left?
Yeah, I think when he came.
When he came.
Because they had the drafts then.
Yeah, he was a TD, I think, right?
Yes, he was.
Yeah. So who do you think is the best player you played against?
I think I would say I had a tough time when Sonny Norde was at his peak for Monbagan.
Mm.
I think he was a very tough player to play against.
You came up against him like one-on-one?
No, because he would play. Obviously, we had to, you know, support the team and everything. I feel like he was. I remember in the final game, yeah, that like that year that we
missed.
We missed on the league. So I took a corner, then he counter-attacked. I was trying to chase him. He was so fast. I could catch him. So,
that's just only.
And I felt like he was a menace. Team, so I felt like he was a tough player to play against.
But damn fun player to watch.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, is there any player that was very awkward for you to play against? Like, there is always someone, maybe he's too tall or maybe his rhythm is a little different. Anybody like that who you thought was not necessarily the best player you played against, but very difficult one to play against?
I remember. I think it has to be Sinas.
Okay.
Yeah, because you don't know. You know, like he's very physical. You don't know he'd come from somewhere and, you know, finish you off. I think he's a very physical player, and I think which is also needed, you know. And I, especially for me, I don't like people tackling me. So it's when you come against players, you like to tackle, you know, you like.
Chali jao yaar.
So, do you have? Is there any funny story that you have conversation on the field and things with opposition?
No. I don't you really. Don't you know, no.
So, is there any funny moment at all in training, playing, in and around football field, from your own team also?
No, I mean there are a lot of players who joke around a lot on the pitch, but I hardly, you know. Like, I'm not a guy who instigates or who starts jokes or anything like that.
Right.
Maybe I would be a part of the joke, but not someone who is a joker who tries to, you know, put up pranks on players like that. So I don't really, really record because I'm really, really not involved myself. So
anything you've seen?
I say like players, you know, like I remember Vishal, if you know him, Vishal Raghavendra. The right back at BFC, remember?
Yeah, Vishal Kumar, right?
Yeah, Vishal Kumar, yes.
Yeah.
So he likes to do planks with players. So normally when we, after training at BFC, normally that wall, the parapet, the stadium wall where we sit before we enter. So players would sit there, and when we have baths, so some players would still be sitting there. He would get the buckets of water from on top, start pouring on players from on top. And these are just small things that he would do, just, you know.
That's just the ice bucket challenge.
Yeah, I think they these are small things that, you know, build a team.
Absolutely.
I think they're very, very important, yes.
Like Kabra told some of the funniest things about things on the field. Like telling, I don't know, Beto, who was it? Some foreigner, Latin American player, that he was going to break him. And then that guy didn't understand English, so he had to point and do this and all. And he got yellow card in the first 20 seconds because he went for a tackle and missed. So, yeah, it's a nice thing that we, when we do these kind of interviews, we see the other side of the players, you know, the funny sides and all those. But generally, press conference, you'll be like, oh, tomorrow's game, yesterday's game, today's game.
Press conference conversations are boring.
Yeah, press conferences are. Like, and we need some good coaches who are interested in talking also. Like, Ashley used to be one of them. He used to talk, and then he used to get angry sometimes. So, that was funny.
He would come with his laptop.
Oh, yeah. He came with his laptop after Khalid Jameer incident happened. Right? The bottle throwing. He came with his laptop and said, see, it never hit him. He's just acting. we were all confused. Like, why is he coming with a laptop? I think it's a top camera that you have for the tactical camera. So he's taken that and come. It's like nothing happened to him. He's just milking the situation. And Khalid came with the full
headband.
That was damn hilarious. It, all in retrospect. At that time, we were like, oh, what is going on?
What the fuck is happening?
But yeah, generally, it was fun. And then, now that you mentioned Joshua Walker, right? At the press conference, I had asked him like about Walker. Do you think he's an upgrade on Menyonger? Because Menyonger is playing that similar role. He's playing playmaker role. Then he said something, and then I was like, but he doesn't pass forward that much. Most of his passes are sideways.
Sandeep, you should tell the background as well, where you sat and counted the square passes.
So then he told me, like, no, nothing like that. Enough. So the next game, I'm sitting and writing number of passes he passed sideways and number of passes forwards. So then I went in that to him. It's like, you know, he passed this much sideways and this is what I've seen. Then Ashley got angry. He said something, you know, like, you know, he's doing all these things for the team, blah, blah, blah. I think it was, like you said, defensively, he was a good player. He was always running, moving and things. So then after the whole thing, at the end of the season, we had a sit-down interview with Ashley. After a while, at the end of the interview, I told him, look, I'm sorry about that day. Then he said, no, it's fine. I have to protect my kids. So it's okay. I'm not angry at you. No. It's like, cool. Nice guy. He came on the podcast also, said some funny things at that time. Yeah. You had media days and things, right? Sorry, you had fan engagements and things, no?
Yeah, we had, yeah.
In Arbor and things?
Yeah, I mean like a team get-together.
Yeah.
Probably.
So he was talking about the stories from there, about the people wearing other people's shirt and...
Oh, the fancy...
Yeah,
like, I mean, like, you know, shit shirt day or something like that.
So he was talking about all those. Like, these are things that people maybe they don't know. I was there on after that day. I don't think I came for the event. I was just there to drink.
Okay.
And then I saw Robin in the bathroom changing shirt. And then Robin's like, hey, nothing, brother. This is a shit shirt day. I don't want to wear that shit shirt. And I was like, okay, Robin. You had a great bunch of characters in that team, to be fair.
Yeah, we had, yeah.
Vinith was also there, nothing. Special, different character. So, Eugene, thanks a lot, man. Like, we really appreciate it. Wanted to get you for the 5th anniversary wala show, on the day of the show. So, I'll tell you this. I have been a huge admirer of you for a long time. And you probably know this because of the interactions we've had over the years, and you know, interviews and things. So I really wanted to get you on the show because big fan.
Thanks, man. Thank you so much, man.
Just took a while to say that.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we can't We can't say this, right? As journalists, we're supposed to be impartial, but we all have our favorites. So
no one's impartial.
Yeah, we all have our favorites.
And, thanks, man.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.